Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
So this is Vision Sunday, and so we're going to just cast a vision for the kind of church that we are, what we're getting to be more and more of the time, but what we want more of as 2023 kind of unfolds. And so I'm going to kick off with a Bible. It always helps, doesn't it? You reckon? So here we go. So from Acts 2, and actually from Joel 3, Peter said this: "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." There's a lot of prophesying in that, isn't there? Yeah. But as we look at it there, it's God's idea that he's given us the capacity to dream. Okay? Everything that you can see came out of a dream. The banners, it's all about Jesus. They came out of a dream someone had of how it could be. That's the cinema, the lights, the trees that you see, the animals. Even God saw them. He had a dream about this is what it's going to be like. Then he created. And so God has given us the ability to dream. And so my dream for this year is that we will be a church that is absolutely filled with people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, being fully strengthened and guided by the Holy Spirit, doing what the Holy Spirit asks each one of us to do, gifted by the Holy Spirit, blessed by the Holy Spirit, absolutely soaked in his presence. Now, what we saw there is in the Old Testament, God said this is what he wanted to do. But then he said it again in the New Testament. Now, who knows that when God says something once, he means it. What God says, he means. Okay? Any part of scripture you pull, and if it says something, God means it. But when he says it twice, when he repeats it, that means he really means it. What it means, right? The truth of it is, God's up there going, "I've already said it once, but I don't think they're going to get it. So I'm going to have to say it again." And so for each one of us here, have you really got it? That this is what Christianity is all about. It's all about being filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit, I read this morning, A.W. Tozer says this: "How can the Spirit all of a sudden invade us so that we're still ourselves and yet God is fully in us? How can he do that? How can I still be me, but Jesus be fully in me?" And it's like this, an illustration of a poker going into the fire. I thought this was amazing. Tozer, anything on Tozer, read it. You put a poker in a fire. There's the fire and there's the metal poker. They're two distinctly different things. But when the poker goes in the fire, after time, suddenly the fire goes in the poker, and when you pull the poker out, the fire and the poker are totally together as one, yet separate. Because we know if you put the poker in the cold, the fire comes out and the poker is exactly what it was before. But that is Christianity. That is God overtaking our lives. If we would get out of the way and allow him to do what he wants to do, we will be filled and flooded with the presence of God and he will have his way. Anyone up for that this year? Yeah. It says it's available to all flesh. That's what it says. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. So the question is this: have you got any flesh? If you're like me, you've got a little bit more flesh after Christmas than before. But if you've got flesh, that means the Holy Spirit of God is for you. Yeah, God wants to come and fill your heart, fill your life, fill this 2023. And the thing is this, what that means is that so that is the presence of Holy Spirit is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together. Okay? You can never separate them. Although they're three different persons, they are together. They are as one. So he comes with his kingdom. Like we was prophesied earlier, God wants to be amongst us as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this year. That's who he is. So if you've got flesh, he wants to come and flood in that. You have the kingdom of God. So we don't have to struggle and strive for the kingdom. It's not about continually battling, God, give me your spirit, give me this, give me. He's in you and with you and for you. And our life as a Christian now is one about enjoying the presence, not straining and struggling to get it. No, we strain and struggle to get rid of the stuff that we don't need in our life. The sexual sin, the violence, or the drug taking, or swearing, or all this other stuff that's part of our old life. We get rid of that so that we can enjoy the kingdom. That's how we get the kingdom. And then as we go through this life, as we go through 2023, it's about us dispensing the kingdom, giving out the Holy Spirit to others, pouring it out. Lloyd was singing this morning, pour it out, Lord, pour it out. And if we got a picture of just him pouring it into us, great. But that's not the idea. He gives it to us. He pours it into us so we can pour it into the lives of others. That's the kind of church we want to be. That's the kind of people we want to be. Can I hear an amen to that? Guys, you've got to get it. Yeah, God had to say it twice, said it once, up there thinking, I don't think they've got it. This is what Christianity is all about. You've got to know that when you're walking about, when you're with your family, you carry the presence of God. You don't have to try. You're going to change situations. You're going to change what's going on in life because you carry heaven with you. And if you can get it, then all of a sudden you're realizing, my word, God is with me. How can I change this situation? Like Dan did earlier. Just saw something with this guy, need something, went over there, dispensing the presence of God. That's what he was doing. This is what you have, guys. This is what's in the bag. Your bag is full. You were filled this morning. We're called to be filled every day. And when we realize that, God said it twice, I don't think they've got it. Ask yourself, really, have you got it? You just want to come in religiously every week? If that's you, I don't want you here. I don't want religious people. They get on your nerves. They start wanting it this way or that way. God did it last year, did it like this. It's like, what is the Spirit saying? He's an exciting God. He's a God who leads us and guides us and wants fresh things and new things. He wants you to ditch the stuff that's old and that's gone. Who cares about it? It was yesterday. It's gone. He's got an exciting new year for us. Do we believe that, church? Amen. Lloyd does anyway. Praise the Lord. And so this is what we're going to be going for this year. Not just here, but in Basildon as well. That's our sister church, brother church, whatever you want to call it. Do pray for Sam. He's preaching down there today, and he come off his motorbike on the way there. He's okay, guys. The motorbike isn't. It's a little bit damaged, but he managed to pick it up, and he got there, and he'll get in the train home. But, yeah, he's under fire, guys. Oh, come on, me no, turn down. Right, but the thing is that don't expect it to be easy peasy. It's just not. It's never in the Bible where it says, oh, it's going to be an easy peasy life. It's going to be a joy-filled life and a power-filled life. But we have an enemy. And I said to Sam before he went down, he went, Sam, like, be careful as you drive down there. He already told us about something last night. We said, the devil's on my case. Guy, we're going to get that, okay? Just accept it. It's who we are. We're born not on a cruise ship or on a battleship. There's a battle going on. But we want the Holy Spirit, guys. We want to see our friends and our family come into faith, don't we? Yeah, Crystal does, didn't you, Crystal? Look at that. We do. But how do we do that? We pray, we read, we get these things in place at the beginning of the year. And I guarantee you now, if you pray regularly, if you read regularly, even Colin Wilkinson has said, I'm going to start reading through the Bible in a year. We put that out a couple of days ago. And he's now on day 7, where he's actually kept up with it every day so far. Right? But that will transform your life. It's not the book, it's not reading, it's introducing you to the God of the Bible. This God who's alive, it's a relationship you're building. Guys, don't settle for a Christianity that is any less. Don't become a religious one. Become a relationship one, where the Spirit of God is so flooded in that all you can do is live it out. That's Christianity. And my dream, I'm going to give you a few things that I see this year that God wants us to hone in on. My dream is that as the first sign of the Holy Spirit being filling a person, that they would have dreams. That's what that passage has said, that we would dream. It's God's idea. Now, there are two types, okay? There's one when we go asleep and God wants to speak to us. And Angela's going to unpack that and unfold that in different forms as we move through this year. Can't wait for that. Does anyone want to understand their dream life? Yeah, come on. We want to be them supernatural people that start hearing. You know, if you're a child of God, you cannot be not supernatural. Can you? But we want to understand. So the first sign of someone being filled with the presence of God, you're going to have dreams. Old men, young men, you can't count yourself out. It is for everybody. So that's when we're asleep. Angela's going to unpack that a bit, as I said, in different forms as the year goes on. But the second way is the dreams that God puts in your heart, the desires he puts there, the longings that are within. There's a sense of destiny, a sense that I feel I'm called to this. This is what I'm called to be. God puts these in us individually and as a church. And this year, God wants us to discover that and walk in that. And so my question to you is, what dreams has God put in your heart? What destinies have you put there? What gifts and talents? What is inside that somehow you know this should be you? This is who you are on the inside. I wish everyone else knew what I'm really like, but you're still inside. And God said, I want that out. I want you to live that out now. I want you to discover who you're supposed to be in me. Stop hiding. Stop being lazy for some. Stop being defeated because you perhaps have made some real bad choices in life. Forget all that. It's time to focus on him and let him do what he has placed in your heart. I remember years ago when I was a kid, I don't know how old I was watching a film, watching the TV, and there was a guy called Lech Walesa, and he was, I think it was Polish, something like that anyway, and he was a Polish shipyard engineer, an electrician. And I was watching it, and there was these downtrodden people, these people, and all of a sudden Lech Walesa got up on a table and he started to say, we're going to do this, blah, blah, and people are gathering and they're following, and the power of these words. And all of a sudden I felt, I didn't know God then, but inside I knew that was going to be me. I know that I'm going to be speaking in front of people one day, even though it's the most fearful thing I've ever done in my life. I knew there was a burning sensation. There was this dream birthing, this understanding that I would be speaking in front of people like Lech Walesa did. And he led them into a better pay, better job situation. That's what he did in his life. But I just knew that was there. Look into your past, guys. What is the dream that God has placed in your heart? He created you like he did me. There's something there to discover. And then many years later, I remember working in London. I was on the tubes and I was reading a book by a Purpose Driven Church by Rick Warren. And as I read it, it was like, this looks like the New Testament. There's signs and wonders and miracles. And these guys really love each other. They really care about each other. Oh, man, I would love to be part of a church like that. There's nothing where I came from like that. Little did I know that God was birthing that dream and that one day I'll be leading a church just like that. But you see, it took years to come out. And Ephesians 3:20 said this, that God is able to do far more than we can dream or imagine by his powerful work working within us. And so he surprised me. One day when he called me and Debbie to do it, we still didn't believe it. It took 5 years to venture out and do that from that time. But the birth of that dream started many years before, where God just placed that there. And I started to realize this is who God has called me to be. And I want to live and I want to do what God has called me to do. And I'm going to do that this year. I'm going to do it. I want you guys to go for it with whatever God has called you to do. To discover that person inside. Stop hiding away. Stop thinking it's not for me. It is for you. It's for each one of us. And there's a dream about this year. You know, the thing is, as we follow this Jesus, eyes like burning fire, nothing like him. He's a creator, the author of everything. This is our God. This is who we give our life to. As we follow him, we don't have to worry about finances. We don't have to worry about anything because God provides everything. Jesus will provide everything. Everything as we follow his footsteps. And so I dream of a church where, as a place where we accept everybody that comes through the door. Doesn't matter about their past, their age, their sex, their education. It doesn't matter about their social status. We love people for who they are. And we come alongside them and we work out, where are you in Christ at the minute? If they're not, we help them to get there. If they are in Christ, we walk with them at their pace, in their walk with Jesus. We come alongside them. That's the Holy Spirit. Never forces his way anywhere, and nor do we. But we walk with them, and we honour them for everything that the Holy Spirit, that God himself has placed in their heart. Can I hear an hallelujah to that? We love everybody, and that's the way it should be. Problem is that we've had a real tough year last year on the back of another tough year the year before, and it has been like that. And you know, coming out of Christmas, it can be really so an anti-climax, can't it? You know, everyone's looking forward to Christmas, and suddenly it's done. We've spent all our money, and you know, we've... It can be such a downer, guys. That's the truth. And I've been there recently, coming out of Christmas, asking myself the question, can I really carry on? Have I got anything else left to give? And who do I think I am anyway, leading the church? I did just now when Angela said he's our pastor, he's leading, and I'm thinking, who am I? And do you know what? It's like, I listened to a podcast by Terry Virgo, and he said the same thing. You know, Terry Virgo leads Heads Up New Frontiers, and he said, I got up. He said, and I just didn't think there was anything in me. I didn't think I had anything left to give. And I thought, suddenly, if that's all right for you, Terry, I'm okay. And if you're feeling like that, it's okay. It's okay. You see, what he said was, Terry, he said, I looked into the Bible. This is where we do it every day. He said, I looked into the Bible and I came across the passage where Ananias had to go to Paul, it was, and tell Paul that you are called to be my chosen vessel. You are my vessel. I called you to be that vessel to go and do the work that I've called you to do. And he said to Terry, you are my chosen vessel. And church, you are God's chosen vessel to do the destination and the desires that he's placed in your heart. You are that chosen vessel. He didn't have to choose you. Did you know that? He didn't. He had a clean sheet. I learned this week of, do you realize how miraculous it is you're sitting here? Think about it, right? Out of all the people in the world, you say, right, but think about your creation, right? How many eggs the mum produces, right? How many swimmers, on the occasion where that swimmer got in the egg and you birthed out of that, there was a few million other swimmers that were about. Come on. And one of them, that was you, right, was the one that got in and then you came out. That's like, I don't know how many million it is. A few million to one that you're sitting there. It could have been someone else. Yeah? But you was created by God. He knew you then. He created you then. He put a purpose in you. Each one of us. Each one of us. And that's what he wants us to discover this year. You are a chosen vessel. And as you look in the Bible, you'll see that. You look at Gideon. He was nothing of a man. You look at David, the greatest king of the Old Testament. He certainly had the biggest army. He started off just looking after sheep. The last one of the 11, chosen by the devil, what, in ruddy little David? God chooses the weak things, the Bible says. He chooses, 1 Corinthians 1:27, he chooses the powerless things to shame the powerful. There's no good God choosing someone who can do everything. It's so often here. What happens if he chooses Messi? You know, who was the last one? This big star that they bigged up, rapper star. They did so much with him, and then he turned away from God. Can't remember his name. Come on, who's got it? Big rapper guy. Come on, anyone? Kanye West? Yeah. It's all going pear-shaped. You see? Yeah, but the thing is that we always think that. Oh, wouldn't it be great if this one came to us? God chooses the lowly. God chooses those that are at the bottom. God chooses those so that he can lift them up. Wherever you are, so that he can lift you up, then he gets the glory. That's what it's all about. Yeah, he chooses people from every strata of society. But he loves to do that so that he gets the glory. So I want you to start dreaming about your own life. Don't think they're the big stars, the Messi and all that. We were talking about little name's gone from my mind. Lauren's boy. Luca. We're talking about Luca. And it's like, when we're talking to our children, we see a Messi in there. He loves football. And we encourage him and we say, you can do this. You can do that. Because he's got such skill and he loves it. We've discovered at an early age what is in that boy's heart. He lives for football. And that's what God wants to do for you. He sees what's in your heart, how you love people, how you operate. It's because God made you to operate like that. And he wants to encourage you. Don't settle for half-heartedness. Go for it this year. Be at church every week. Go to your group every week. Allow God to transform you and do all that he wants to do in your life. He wants to say that, well done. You can be a Messi of tomorrow. Just go for it, guys. What's God placed in you? And I dream that we would become that church where we obey God's commission to get out there and make disciples of all nations. You see, we were never made for laziness. We were made to tell others. You know, it's not down to us to convert someone. I heard someone yesterday say, oh, I witnessed and I'm so worried that I messed it up, or have they, or it's not down to you to convert anybody. I used to be like that when I did Alpha courses. Now, I'm not worried about sharing the gospel, trying to get them to come to Christ. No, I want them to learn to love each other. Come together, love each other. They'll see Jesus in those who've got Jesus in them, and eventually it will just happen. It's irresistible. You cannot resist Jesus. Once he calls you, you're going to come to Christ. So it's not up to you to convert anybody. It's up to you to love people. Love God, love people. And as we share our testimony, you share your story. What has God done for you? That's what we have to do. And just say that this is what God has done for me. He loved me and cared for me. He forgave me of all my sins. He stopped me doing all them destructive things in my life. And now my life is starting to come together. We tell them our story and the Holy Spirit does the rest. And so someone told you about Jesus. Now it's our turn, guys, to tell others. Our mission statement here is we exist to transform the people of London and beyond by showing them who God really is. So in this year, we want people to show others what God is like. He's wonderful, the most beautiful person that you could ever meet. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. I was in the sauna recently been sharing faith with so many of them. There was two guys in their 20s talking about, you can only get about four in a sauna down the other one. And they were talking about what they were going to do on New Year's Eve. We're going to do this, get wrecked, all that sort of stuff. And I said to them, yeah, no, I lived that. You know, screwed about a bit. Yeah, got wrecked so much. I did wake up here, there and everywhere. I said, I thought I was really good at the time. Until I looked back after about 10 years of that life and saw what a mess I'd made. And they sat there with their little mouths open. It's like, and I thought, just go for it. So I give them about a 2-minute story of how God called me out of that. And I wouldn't change my life for anything now. And you know what they did? They thanked me for it. Because we tend to think they don't want to know out there. But they do. They don't want you bashing them with the Bible. That doesn't help you get them there in the end. They want to know your story and how you got where you are today. But the truth is this, is that every person that you know are going to end up somewhere. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. And you might be the only person that somebody knows that's going to help them get there, that's going to help point to Jesus. So let's use our time well. And then I dream of a church where we will serve the broken people of society, the hurting ones, the people in pain. Why do I want that? Because that's what Jesus did. I see so many people going to get as much head knowledge as you can. You ask them anything and they'll answer anything, and there's nothing wrong with education. We need that. But Jesus was, he knew everything. But it wasn't what he knew. It was his lifestyle. When you look at him, what did he do with what he knew? He loved people. He went out there with the lost and the lonely. Matthew 9:36 said this. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because he saw them harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. If you ever see a sheep without a shepherd, man, are they in a confused, mixed-up state. Because they just walk about anywhere, haven't got a clue where they're going or what they're doing, and they can't find their way back. But you see, had compassion. And that's what Jesus wants for us. That's the kind of people he wants us to be. That when we see people, we have compassion on them when they need it. Remember this, sympathy is saying, I feel sorry you're in that situation. Yeah? And then empathy is saying, I see you're in that position and I feel your pain. I feel what you're going through. That's empathy. But that's not it. Jesus went further and he said, I had compassion on them. Compassion, you see it in Jesus. Compassion is saying, I see you, I feel your pain, and I will do anything to help you get out of the pain you're in. Even as far as dying on the cross to release us from our pain. And what I've seen over the last year, it's been wonderful, where more and more of our people are starting to get amongst the community and help them and be part, you know, different ones are meeting needs that are out there. The lonely are getting met. The disadvantaged are getting met. Groups are growing where we're helping people in their struggles through life. This is who we're called to be, a compassionate, not just sympathy, not just empathy, but compassionate people. And I dream of a church where we grow big people in God. We've just been through an amazing series on Ephesians, looking at our identity. That you are now sons and daughters of God, the living God, forgiven. This is who you are. And out of that being, we do stuff. We get involved. Big people get involved with what's going on. We want more and more people getting involved. We need to get the welcome sorted out. We want more and more people involved with a welcome. Just welcoming people here. That's just a start, guys. 1 Peter 4:10 says that each one has a gift to be used to serve one another. We all have special abilities and gifts and talents that God has given each one of us. How are you using them? You know, serving and ministry is the same word in the Bible, that we're all called to serve each other. We're going to be serving each other forever. You know, if you've got that picture of getting to heaven and it's feet up time, nice and easy peasy forever, it isn't that. That would be boring. It'd bore the pants off of me. You're going to get up there. We're going to be serving each other and serving God forever. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. But the chance is now to get your practice in now so that you've got so much more to enter into up there. No, we weren't meant to just put our feet up and do nothing. You were meant for significance, each one. Absolutely significant in this life and forever. And that significance starts by showing other people who Jesus is and leading them to him. Because one day we will see them eyes that blaze like fire. You're going to see that. You're going to look into his eyes and he's going to say, "What did you do with the money I gave you? What did you do with the car I gave you? What did you do with the house? What did you do with the family, the friends I gave you? What did you do with the doors that I opened for you?" And then he will reward us. There's no condemnation. And I dream of a church that realizes that all this happens on the back of prayer. If we are not a praying people, then not a lot will happen. What I know, as I see, as I look into people's lives, it's the praying people that get things done. God responds to prayer, where we spend time with him, soaking up his presence. Download. You know, when we do that, we become his friends. Not every person is a friend of God. Not every Christian is a friend of God. We need to spend time. We'll preach about that at some point. We need to spend time. Then we become friends. Then he downloads to us what he's got for each one of us in our life. That's why we meet for prayer. Fantastic prayer. I know it's on Zoom, but it allows us. Haresh joins in from India. Tony's guys from Basildon, we're in there as well. It's all us together on a Saturday morning. And then in next week, we're going to start prayer and fasting. If you've got a moan or a groan, get in the prayer times on that Zoom. If you've got an aspiration, a dream, something that's placed in you that hasn't come about yet, it's time to dream. And you youth, you're at an early age, learn that this is the skill that makes you live the greatest life you could ever live. Do it while you're young. Don't leave it till you're old like me. It's too late. Well, it's never too late. Say that for the oldies. Don't count yourself out. Not that we've got any oldies in here. But you're never too late. I heard of a guy that came to Christ at about 65, and he ended up leading more people to Christ than the whole of the rest of that church. He just gave himself over to leading people to Christ. You're never too old, and you're never too young to get that solid foundation now. Get it right now. If only I could have come to Christ 20 years earlier than I did. What a mess I would have saved making. It comes out of prayer, guys. We're getting there now. And I pray and dream. I dream that we will become a church who really are a close family. That there's no walls between us. We don't allow any of that. whether you're black, white, anything in between, old, young, colour, education, all of it. No rules. No rules allowed in here. We are one together in Christ. And that's who God has called us to be. Bearing each other's burdens. Loving each other. And pastoring each other. We don't believe in pastoral care here. We believe in pastoral share. That's why we have groups, so that we can pastor each other. Each one of you are pastors in your own right. You all look after different people. That's why we say get in a group. And, all right, the big things, we're there for you and that. But most of it goes on in the groups. As you're in a group, you've got somebody that you can share your pain with. Group of people you can share your pain with. But also, you can, when things go well, when you can celebrate, there's nothing worse than something major happening in your life and you've got no one to celebrate with. This is what our groups are for. Challenge you to join one. We have two prophetic words. I'll finish with that. There are two main kinds of people here today. God showed me a few days ago a ploughed field. All right, you could see that the farmer had been churning things up and to get the soil in the right place so that it's ready for the seed. And what God is, your life might have felt like God is churning things up. Everything's going wrong. Everything's changing. What's going on in life? Well, God is churning it up so you are ready to receive the seed that he wants to place in you for your future. And so my challenge to you would be, if that's you, and maybe it's everybody in a way, but just be ready to say yes to what God wants to do in your life. That's what the seed is, the beginning of something. Just be ready to say yes, because so often it's a no, or yes, but I'll do it when this, when I've got enough money, when I pass that test, when that happens, or when this happens, and it will never happen. Be ready to say yes. But for others, it's a time of fruit ripening, where you know that God has got you on track with what your desire is, what he has placed in your heart. You know that is, you're on line with that. It's time to start practicing. It's time to start becoming all that God wants you to be. Not settling for half-heartedness, just half of the person that God wants you to be. He wants you to press into it. There is more this year for everybody. And so it is a year where God is doing the ripening. And that comes out of your prayer, your reading, your loving other people and doing all the things that I've said this morning. Building each other up. If you want your ministry just to be for you, that's all it's going to be. If you want to rise up, give it away. Give it away. And God will do more. He said this, that for some it's going to seem like you've tried it before and not a lot happened. God is saying, keep going and do it again. Because what God is doing this year is deepening our relationships. Because he wants our relationships to be solid so that he can trust us with all that he wants us to do, with all that he wants to do in your life individually. It starts with you. It starts with you, then us together. But for both, don't be discouraged because you haven't seen much happening. It's time to trust God and not lean in on your own understanding. You know, one thing, I preached something like this a couple of years ago and prayed that my dream was that God would double us in size. And we went through a tough year because of lockdown and all that. And it didn't look like that. Was there any chance of happening? But look at us now. That double, I didn't know, meant that we would have two churches. Who would ever think that? Who would ever think that? God is a God of surprises. And I believe that he wants to double the anointing on every person in the house today. You up for that, church?